Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Pronounce Read Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get him.
I don't even have a joke, Dave. Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. Andrew.
That's me.
What would be the most on-brand sponsor we could possibly have for Saints Happy Hour?
Jack Daniels.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
Well, not
honey,
booze.
Honey bourbon.
We got booze in the pipeline, but we have a sponsor. We are sponsored. People always ask me for advice on the podcast. Usually it's like what team to bet on. The truth is I don't know who's going to win. But if you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys. They are the best bet this season. They've been in business for years. They have good reviews online. Their mobile site is easy. Look, I wouldn't recommend any service. Look, I'm a semi-degenerate gambler. That's why I'm urging you to make your bets with MyBookie.com. They win. You win, they pay. That's what matters. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business for your fantasy guys out there. You can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now. MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Dollar for dollar, Andrew. And use the promo code HAPPY to activate the offer. You visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code HAPPY when you're creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. You play, you win, you get paid. It's easy. It's beautiful. All right.
So it's $1,000 if you enter the promo code HAPPY?
You get like 1,000 points to play. It's a good gambling site. I've used it in the past. That's why they reached out to me. You know, they're like, hey, you gamble, we're a gambling site. I'm like, hey, it sounds like fun. So look, the Saints won 36-7. People made fun of me in my column today because I said Marcus Davenport. He's probably a little bit of Lawrence Taylor, Reggie White, Ricky Jackson, Sam Mills, and a unicorn mixing one. I saw half a sack, Andrew, and I saw an open field tackle. I think it's clear to say 11 sacks. I mean, is that not ridiculous?
For Davenport in his rookie season?
Yeah, I mean, I see like Javon Kearse the freak. I mean, why can't he be awesome? It's
in
August.
Why can't
I dream big?
Oh, I was thinking 16 and a half.
Y'all done lost your minds.
Is it possible to get into the Hall of Fame after your rookie season?
Maybe. I mean, if he
if he breaks Strahan's record, he probably could, right?
Yeah. I mean, Gale okay. Sayers only had like 4 good years, and he got in the Hall of Fame. But seriously. For people that don't aren't a patron, you should be a patron. You pay a dollar, you would have got the post-game show that me and Andrew did. But give me what you thought of him. You had a good explanation of why you felt really good about his performance Saturday.
Well, you might have to remind me, but I think the main takeaway for me, you know, we talked about this. We just wanted to see him flash. We know he's going to be rusty. We know he's missed practice, so we know he's not going to maybe deliver on technique and he's going to look a little rusty, but what we wanted to see was freak athleticism. And for him to kind of lose his containment and still make the tackle on a receiver on an end around, that was nuts. He gets the half sack. He showed some athleticism. He showed ability to get up the field. And so, you know, the freakish athleticism, I mean, that's why he was drafted in the first round. So I feel like at least we kind of got the eye candy. We got the understanding of why he is valued so highly by the Saints. And now from here on out, we know he's capable. Now it's just about putting together consistency, staying healthy, and developing.
So, Dave, when you're watching this defense, the run defense was pretty fucking terrible the first couple series.
Yeah.
Were you how concerned were, do you just like wash that away, or did you see something you're like, I don't really like that?
Yeah, I kind of washed it away. I mean, you know, you're definitely right. It was terrible. They got gashed. This is early on in the game. We're talking about the first teamers here, but
Tape Eaters on Twitter were telling me it's run fits. It wasn't physical. It was run fits and things of that nature.
I'm just really not worried about it. I don't think that automatically means that you know, they're going to go back to the days of like 2000
Rob Ryan looking confused and sad on the sideline
14 or whatever. You know, hopefully, well, I mean, next week, game four, preseason, I mean, none of the starters are going to play, so we're not even really going to see if
forget
they can
the
get
starters,
it
man. I would say, Andrew, Thursday, man, like, the top 40 aren't playing, right? Like,
it better not be.
Yeah.
I mean, if you see a dude that you are surprised is playing, I would think that's really bad for his chances of making the roster, no?
Yeah. Like, if you're playing on Thursday night, then you're in deep shit, basically.
I mean, like, if you see Cam Meredith out there in the second quarter, you'd be like, oh man, they might just set $5 million on fire.
Yep.
So,
well, I didn't get to do whatever the post game podcast that you guys did after the game. I mean, my one big takeaway.
Well, hold on, you didn't get to?
You can join us. We're the 12 minutes of drunkenness.
Oh,
we can plug you in.
I have no interest in doing that.
Okay, well, if you don't have interest, then it's not that you weren't allowed. Let's rephrase here.
Yeah, it's like, Dave, you weren't texting me trying to get dialed in. Anytime, Dave. Anytime you want to join in.
Well, I
didn't
even.
Right
well,
in.
I mean, if I wanted to do it, I wouldn't have known that it was that y'all were even doing it. But I didn't want to do it, so don't worry about it. But anyway,
controversy.
So, I mean, the big takeaway, I think, the great thing about the game against the Chargers is, you know, just how good, how deep the team looks, how good the second team guys are, the third team guys are. You know, the Chargers head coach, you know, he said they got outplayed. They definitely got outplayed. Our second guy around, second team guys and third team guys were just played better than their guys. And I mean, that's absolutely what you want to see in preseason, because once the season starts, as you get into November, yeah, December, you're going to have injuries. You're going to need guys to step up. The teams that play well all the entire year and into the playoffs are the teams that have good depth, the teams where there's not such a huge drop-off between the starter and the next guy up. That's definitely what you need, and I think that's what the Saints have. You know, the first team, they didn't look that great, but we all know that after two, you know, the first half of week one, you know, they'll iron it all out and they'll get going.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Jacksonville last year had great injury luck, and I think they had like all 11 starters start at least 15 games. But Andrew, 2009 Saints, they're awesome. They won the trophy. We know that. But that team didn't have good injury luck, and that team weathered a shit ton of injuries. I mean, they were signing Mike McKenzie and McAllister off the street, playing them against New England on Monday night. Bushrod started at tackle the whole year. Brown got, you know, he had the groin, right? He was one of the first people to get the mesh and be out for the year, right? So, like,
Billy Miller.
How does this roster compare to 2009, you think?
Man, that's a good question. I think it's that's a tough question. I mean, you know, in some spots, I still think it misses the star power. I mean, you talk about Vilma and how just damn good he was at middle linebacker that year. You know, Will Smith was kind of playing at maybe a level a tad bit lower than Cam Jordan, but pretty close. And then, you know, obviously Darren Sharper was arguably the at the halfway point, he was arguably the defensive player of the year. So, you know, Lattimore is a good player. You know, could Lattimore for nine, ten games play at defensive MVP level? Sure, it's possible. But, you know, I think they're maybe deeper, but they have less explosive playmakers. I mean, that team had Devery. It had Reggie Bush. It had Meacham. You know, I don't know that they have as many home run threats offensively on this team.
Yeah, I mean, Dave, if the interesting thing I thought is when I was watching the game with Taysom Hill, you know, me and Andrew were talking, and people during on Twitter in the game were like, oh my God, why did the Saints use a fake punt, which was a cool play with Taysom Hill? Like, why do you use that during the preseason? Why do you waste that? That's the good stuff, right? And I thought about it, and then I was like, you know what? I think Sean Payton did it because he's keeping all three quarterbacks and he wants NFL teams to see that and think to themselves, if Taysom Hill is on a punt team that the Saints are punting and it's fourth and less than three and it's past the Saints 40-yard line, weird shit's coming with the giant Mormon quarterback. So what do you think of my theory that definitely they're keeping all three quarterbacks?
I think they are keeping all three quarterbacks. You know, the quarterback play in that game from both Savage and Hill was very good, I thought. And obviously, I'm you can play the hype train. You can play the train sound because, I mean, I he's fun to watch. I mean, he's just plain old fun to watch. I don't think they're gonna get rid of either of them.
Andrew, they cook up some weird shit on punts with him, like fakes and whatnot, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could even see a scenario where he switches places with Morstead. Morstead's the up back, and he takes it out of the shotgun, and then he punts it. You know, like a punt deception thing, like they sometimes do in college football.
Oh.
You know, or like a backup quarterback will take a snap, and he makes it look like he'll let the receivers even run routes for a second to see if someone gets open, and if not, he'll just punt it. You know? So yeah, there's all sorts of gadget stuff they could run. They're probably not going to do that. I was half kidding, but
he's an athlete,
and he can make plays with the ball in his hand. It's weird. It's like a video game, you know, with the guy that has like 99 speed. He just looks faster than everyone else on the field when he has the ball.
And it just scares. The thing is, it just scares the shit out of teams and. Maybe they play their regular defense a bunch or they don't set up a return as good as they can because they're like, what are the Saints going to do with the giant Mormon quarterback? So it's really interesting. The thing is, though, like, and Dave, I'll start with you, but I want you to chime in too, Andrew. Tom Savage, is he looking kind of McCownish where, like, you wouldn't want him playing for, like, a long stretch of games? But if he played for a week or two, it might – possibly not be a disaster?
I think he's certainly serviceable. I mean, you know, he's got actual regular season NFL game experience.
He's won a game before as a starter.
Yeah.
One or two.
He looks so much better.
He's not that green. I mean, he's not the best. He may have reached his ceiling already. You know, I mean, I don't know if there's really much more that you're going to get out of him, but, you know, I think it was Eric Asher was, you know, calls him Mr. Checkdown. He's the guy that you want your daughter to date. You know, he's just a safe, reliable, guy. He's not
flashy.
Well,
here's the thing, though.
He's no Taysom Hill, certainly, but he can get the job done. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be able to go out there and win games, but I think he probably could not lose them.
I think the thing is, though, Andrew, you know, people, you know, Asher calls him Mr. Checkdown or whatever. But, like, when I watched him with the Texans, he didn't check down to nobody. He held the ball for 6 seconds and got sacked. So, like, the faster whatever he does with the Saints, reading or get rid of the ball, like, that's something new. He did not do that with the Texans.
Yeah, he's taken a couple sacks. I remember there's that one fumble near the goal line, which is bad. But in general, I mean, globally over the three games that I've watched him, he's running through his progressions. The ball's coming out. And, you know, I think a lot of guys would call Drew Brees Mr. Checkdown. You know, I think if you look at Brees, a lot of times he makes his progressions, and after 3 seconds, boom, the ball is in the running back's hands. Brees throws the ball to the running backs a lot. You know, when the play's there, he makes the throw. And so I have no problem with the quarterback that checks down. If the ball's coming out, he's not taking a sack. He's not taking unnecessary risk. To me, that's what a good pro quarterback does.
I think that's what all the good quarterbacks do in the NFL.
That's absolutely right. You put the ball in your playmaker's hands, and if the play's not there, you take the safe outlet.
Yeah.
Well, I remember last year, I think it was Underhill, he did an awesome thing he had noticed on film. You know, that the Saints, you know, they always make sure on all their route trees, on all their passing plays, you know, there's always a guy, whether it's a running back or a tight end or whatever, but there's always a guy who's just kind of right there over the middle, who's available. They like to set up like that, like a triangle, you know, so there's always two people, you know, one person in one corner, one person in the other corner, and then one person right there over the middle. They run different routes, you know, they call different plays and run different routes to get there, or they do it on different sides of the field, but it's always there. So Drew knows, you know, he's going to have these specific, throwing lanes, there for him, and he just has to find the right one. So, you know, I think it's obviously designed that way.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, and by the way, Nick is teasing. He's charted every fucking pass play that Drew Brees has ever done, and he's charting for his, like, season preview. He says that he did something even more ridiculous and spent more time on than charting every Drew Brees pass that he's ever thrown for the Saints. So I can't even fathom what that is. But, Andrew, I fear that we are going to have to pour one out for Kikaha, that he's not making this roster. Is that,
man?
Why do you fear that though? You shouldn't fear that. That's good. That means
I like Kikaha. He could have been fun.
They've got better guys.
I know they got better guys, but I like Kikaha.
Thing. Yeah, it's not a rational thing. I just like Kikaha. Like, I wanted him to be awesome.
Why? What is he?
I mean, just did, man. I don't know. Sometimes you can't explain it. You just like a guy. You want him to succeed.
I thought
it would have been fun to have the crazy haired Hawaiian like making sacks.
He's not outspoken. He's like never really said anything outrageous, or his personality has never really come through via the media. He's never done anything amazing on the field.
I like his hair, right?
Why are you judging our love, Dave? Why are you judging our love?
I'm not judging it. I just want the listeners to. I'm trying to pinpoint it, and I think we have. I think we've pinpointed it that you just like Kikaha because he's got long, girly hair.
Maybe.
No, I mean, I think part of it too was that, like, he wasn't fast. You know, he kind of had like the Fred Biletnikoff thing going. Like, he's not fast. He doesn't have great strength. He doesn't look good in practice. But, like, you know, especially his rookie season early, like the first 8 games of his rookie year, like, he was just making plays left and right. And he was just one of those guys that just felt, you just felt like somehow he gets it done. Like, he has a nose for the football. And I don't know. So then I just started rooting for him. I kind of felt like he was a guy that was not supposed to be that good, but somehow making plays. And I don't know. To me, he was always fun. I'm going to miss Kikaha.
Yeah, I'm going to miss him. Here's the thing, Dave. If this roster, we talked about how good it is. And look, you make a rational point. Look, it's good that they're – you know, we said it last year when they cut Darrell Tapp. We were like, oh, that's good that they cut Darrell Tapp because he's 100 years old. And they're like, our defensive line is good enough that we have younger players that we feel better about. And even though Darrell Tapp is going to get claimed, maybe we're getting rid of him. So it was a good sign, and it's a good thing. But here's the thing, Dave, with this roster. At tight end, do you think the Saints would do a trade like player for player or draft pick? Because I look at tight end, and I'm like, Ben Watson and nothing else. Because playoff Josh Hill, you can't use that till January.
Well, they seem plenty happy with Josh Hill. I mean, he's been on this team for how many years now? Whatever Josh Hill does, you know, he does Josh Hill things, and they seem to value that. And I mean, as long as Ben Watson, everything I ever hear, I've ever heard about Ben Watson since he's been back to the Saints is how he looks like he's still 25 years old. He's totally in shape. He hasn't lost a step. He's still in sync with Drew Brees. I mean, I have heard nothing.
Zach Streif gushed about him. Which you people should listen to because it's amazing and only 1,000 of you have listened to it, and that breaks my heart. So download it if you haven't listened to it.
I have heard only positive things about Ben Watson. So I'm expecting big. I'm expecting a 1,000-yard season from him.
Wow.
What?
That is.
What?
Maybe not 1,000. I'll say 800.
I mean, we got to play that. I mean, 800 yards for Ben. That's. Woo.
These are crazy pills. Soundbite.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
All right, mark this time. Mark this episode and the time. And we'll come back to this.
Mark it down. Play the. Put it on the board. If we had a board of like predictions,
Stu can put me on his list. Is Stu even a member of Canal Street Chronicles still?
Anymore?
I don't even know.
We'll do predictions and fun bets next week for season win totals and whatnot. But we'll put that on the board. Andrew, like, if the Saints were going to make a move for tight end, and I'm not saying they're going to get somebody good, and I'm not saying they're going to give a high draft pick away, but if they were going to package a player and get a quality backup tight end, who would be a player on the roster that you think they could get that for? And you don't even have to name the tight end that the Saints would get. You just have to name the player that they would trade for that tight end.
I mean, I think Kika has in play. You know, if somebody needed a pass rusher, I would say maybe. I mean, I don't know if they would be willing to trade one of their linebackers, like Craig Robertson. You know, he's been a starter. He's played pretty well. He's cheap. I don't think they want to get rid of him, but, you know, if they can get a decent tight end for Craig Robertson, I think they'd think about it.
Yeah, you'd need like a Saints 20. When did the Saints trade? Was it 2013 they traded for Harrelson?
Harrelson, yeah.
You would need like a team that was like kind of deep at tight end and was like decimated at linebacker.
Well, they've traded for David Thomas and who, man? So, I mean, Sean Payton has a history of doing this.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I don't know. How many tight ends does New England have? Do they have – because that's who the Saints like to do business with. Look at the Patriot depth chart. You think I'm kidding, but –
I don't think you're kidding. I don't think you're kidding.
So, let's look at another guy who was a training camp darling last year, Dave Muhammad. I think he's like
on the bubble. He's on the bubble.
Yeah. Is there any? Is it, you know, Andrew? We talked today, or a text when we instead of doing actual work like Dave and running a t-shirt empire. By the way, donate $12 a month for a couple of months. You get a sweet, sweet t-shirt, Dave. He ordered them today. Do that. But, Andrew, you were talking about the difficulty of Rick Leonard with the Saints because
– Yes.
Explain the difficulty of him.
Well, he's kind of the player on this roster that stresses me out the most when it comes to cutting down to 53 because I just feel like he's a 6'7" tackle that was drafted pretty high, and teams are desperate for tackles. So like there's no way they're getting him on the practice squad. If they cut him, he'll be claimed and he's gone. So I just, and I don't really, I mean, he can't play. Like, I don't want him playing in games because he's not good yet. You know, he's really raw and it's going to take time with him. So you could give him the medical red shirt, you know, and pretend like he had an injury, but then he's not practicing. And I don't think that does him or the Saints any good either. So I kind of feel like he has to make the roster, but then you really need another tackle. So do you keep German Bushrod too? And, you know, then you've got three tackles on the team, or sorry, two backup tackles on the team. And it starts to get a little crowded on the offensive line, and you probably have to cut Cameron Tom, maybe Laribius. So I don't know, man. Rick Leonard stresses me out. I just feel like you can't win with him, because if you cut him, he's gone. And you're not going to put him on the practice squad. So I feel like he's one of those guys that you're just going to have to keep on the roster all year and never play. Kind of like Muhammad last year.
Dave, who's a guy on the roster that you think about that might get cut? Are you worried about getting cut that it will break your heart, like when Kikaha gets cut, me and Andrew? Is there anybody on the roster like that for you?
Wait, say that again? Is there anybody on the roster?
Is there anybody on the roster that if they got cut, it would break your heart? Like, you would just be like, oh, I'm so sad.
Mark Ingram.
Well, he's not going to get cut. I mean, come on. Let's be realistic. I mean, I was thinking about him, but...
But you think about him every day.
And night. Not really. Anybody I like, you know, I like because they've done something good on this field, not because of a physical trait they may have, like the length of their hair.
He's just banging
that's
on
not,
us tonight.
That's
Andrew.
Not true. Like... You love Anzalone, and he has long hair.
Anzalone. Honestly, he might be one that I would be upset. I mean, just because he's he's the one that if he got cut, I might be upset. You know, only because he's, you know, representing us Italians out there. I really hope he's Italian.
I worked hard on that sound effect too.
I'm afraid to look it up. I'm afraid he's like Portuguese or something, and not really Italian.
We'll see. Here's the thing though with the roster, right? Is this like they're cut, like Andrew, they're gonna cut 3-4 NFL ready dudes?
Yeah, so I was actually doing the cutdowns today just for fun, and I got down to 68, no problem. You know, and then 68 to 66 was kind of fine. But cutting the last 13 players was just awful. Like, I was just cutting a bunch of guys I didn't want to cut, like Kikaha and Tommy Lee Lewis and, you know, Garrett Griffin and George Johnson and Mitchell Lowen and who are some other guys, Stu Parr. You know, there's just a bunch of guys like that, Arthur Mallett. Like, I was just cutting a bunch of guys where I'm like, yeah, I really don't want to cut this guy. And all right, well, I got to cut somebody, so he's gone. And, you know, you get down to 53. But, yeah, I mean, I would say by the end, like, the last three cuts were just brutal. And I felt like, I mean, Cameron Tom was one of my last three cuts. And I just felt like I was getting rid of players that, I mean, are definitely going to get claimed by someone else. And I would have liked to have seen on the Saints.
Yeah. Dave, one of the people that's been sort of a star in the precinct I'm going to butcher his name. Devereaux Lawrence? Is that
Devereaux Lawrence?
Devereaux Lawrence. This dude, like, I think they got to keep him because I think people would stampede the waiver wire for him like 10-year-olds at Build-A-Bear in the mall. But Dave, do you think, like, not only is he going to make the roster, is he going to, like, get quality playing time, maybe like a rotation guy?
Devereaux?
Yeah, Devereaux. That's a cool name, by the way.
Maybe a little bit, but I don't think that much. If he makes the team.
Andrew, he's a lock, I think. No? Or...
Yeah, I think he's a lock. There's no way they can cut him after the preseason he's had. I mean, he's doing it every week. So, you know, I think when guy, I mean, that's how Muhammad made the team last year. I just think you can't not have a guy like that on the team. I think he's tied for the lead in tackles with 9.
Yeah, so listen, before we get to questions and a couple more things, I just want to mention one more time, visit MyBookie today online. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code HAPPY when creating your account to claim $1,000 in free play. All right, so I asked people for Twitter questions, and people responded, which was nice. Let's see. Saints... is this the NFL lock of the year, Andrew? If Tampa is under 6.5 of the lock of the year of the week, if the Saints are favored by less than 6.5 against Tampa, that's from CP74.
Pound that shit all day long, and twice on Sunday. I would seriously consider like budgeting whatever you have for the season to place on your bets on. Put it all on the first game of the season, Saints Bucks. And then when you win and you basically double your earnings, then you can basically play on house money for the rest of the season.
Yes. And because Andrew recommended this bet, you should become a patron and support the show.
You're welcome. That's free gambling advice. Yes, right,
free
there.
Gambling.
You're welcome.
This is a question from Eric, who, by the way, he won the drawing to be on his own Quick Shot, which is a monthly drawing if you donate $5. So congratulations to Eric. But this question is mean, Eric. Dave, you can answer this. How does our offense outlook change if Ben Watson misses time for natural causes? That's mean, Eric.
How does the outlook change?
How does the offense change if Ben Watson misses time for natural causes?
I mean, you just heard my prediction earlier, so yeah. We know that that's not a concern. That's not happening.
This is from Benjamin Andrew as fantasy.
He's a Highlander.
Benjamin Watson? Is this question from Benjamin Watson?
You have to cut off Benjamin Watson's head for him to die. He's a Highlander.
Forget he never die. Died. You just have to cut off his head for him to start to age.
Yeah, that's right.
This is from a question from Benjamin Andrew. It's fantasy draft time. Was it stupid to take both Kumara and Michael Thomas in my fantasy draft?
Okay. First of all, let's end this right here. It's not Kumara. You fucking put a goddamn U in his name, okay? It's not Kumara. It's Kamara.
Kamara?
That's all close. Right.
Kamara?
Kumara. Yeah.
Kumara. I was watching Harold and Kumar, sorry.
Exactly. That's exactly how you pronounce it. Harold and Kumara.
I'm that, so that terrible. And yet they keep putting me on TV, which is a bad idea.
I did a radio show. I won't name names, but I do a radio show, and this host would always call Jari Evans Jahari Evans.
Jahari.
And of course, what did he call it? Jairus Byrd? He called him Jarius. He always called Jairus Byrd Jarius Byrd, and I was just like,
I hope you asked
my power not to correct
him. Was that my radio show in Shreveport, Andrew?
Your radio show in Shreveport? You have a radio show?
No, I don't.
I hope you asked Zach Streif when you had him on and asked him why he pronounces it the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Did you ask him
that? Jaguars?
Jaguars, yes. Yeah.
I did.
You asked him. Okay, good. Oh, you didn't ask him.
We did not.
You blew it.
So, but what about the question?
Wait, what was the question?
Was it dumb of him to take Kamara and Thomas in my fantasy draft?
No. First of all, I
can't believe he pulled it off.
Yeah.
How many people are in the league? 4?
I play in a 12-team keeper league, so every year we can keep one player. But you can only keep him 1 year. You can't keep him 2 years straight. So I had Kamara, so I kept Kamara. But then we did the drawing for the draft position. And so we do a snake draft. So if you have a keeper, you're keeping them with your first round pick, so you don't get a first round pick. So when in that situation, you want like the 12th pick, because then that way your 12th pick is who you kept, and then you get the first pick in the second round. Yeah, you get right. The 13th pick. So the opposite happened. I got the second overall pick. So I didn't get to pick again until 23, and I took and I had to take Kamara with my second round pick. So obviously having Kamara,
wait, Kamara was still there at 23.
No, he was my keeper, so I had to take him with my second overall pick.
Oh, so who'd you take with your second round pick? Not Michael Thomas.
No, I think McKinnon, Jerick McKinnon.
Okay.
Oh my God! Well, that thing is weird. It's a keeper league, so you don't know what's available.
But no, Michael Thomas. Yeah, Michael Thomas was. Well,
it could have been an auction. It could have been an auction draft where he spends 55 on each, and just
Michael. No, actually, Michael Thomas probably wouldn't last through the second round. I would think in just about all leagues.
I mean, in general, I think it's always a bad idea to get multiple guys from the same team, but you want to, you know, spread it out a little bit. But I think those two will operate independent of each other and put up good numbers.
Andrew, if Bill Belichick called and offered the Saints a fourth round pick for Cameron Meredith, would you do it?
Yes.
That's from Dylan.
Yes.
I would do it too.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I mean,
no brainer.
If a team called for Tyler Davidson and offered you a fourth or a fifth round pick, would you do it? Dave, you can answer first.
I would not. We need help on the defensive line more than we need help at receiver, I think. Sean Payton will do something to make chicken salad out of chicken shit at wide receiver, but ain't nobody doing that on the defensive line.
Andrew?
Fourth, yes. Fifth, no.
This is from Hans. What are the chances Morstead talks Anzalone into the St. Baldwick's Locks of Love donation this year?
83%.
That's a good question.
Ooh, this is a good question for you, Dave. If you could create a dream food or drink idea for the Dome concession stands, what would it be?
Something that doesn't suck.
I mean, like I have to come up with something.
No, like you could just say, I wish the Dome served this.
There's a million and one things I could say. I wish that Clancy's opened up some sort of miniature version of their restaurant in the Superdome.
Yeah, with what, $37 entrees?
I'd pay it, buddy. I would
Hans,
pay it.
I want Bud's Boiler. I want Bud's Boiler in the Superdome.
That's a great idea. That seems more the more likely scenario between scenario.
I would pay.
I just don't understand why you can't easily find red beans and rice in the Dome. I don't understand that. It's
do
like
they have it at all?
It's the cheapest thing to make, and
well, you can get jambalaya. That Cajun. What is
jambalaya is horrendous.
It's Zatarain's. It's like out of a box, I think.
It's awful.
It tastes just like Zatarain.
I mean, the Dome concessions are pretty fucking terrible.
Yeah, don't get me started on this shit.
I mean, and the thing is, ever since 9/11, it's impossible to sneak food in. You know, in the 80s and 90s, when I went to the games, you could bring a giant purse and just sneak in whole boxes of Popeye's chicken or po' boys or whatever.
Are you kidding me? Have you gone through those metal detectors and been scanned by those people? Those people working there could give a shit less what you have.
Yeah, but you gotta have the clear purse now, though.
You can
only have it like the size of an iPhone.
So just wear some baggy cargo pants and shove some shit in those pockets. I mean, like, here's what I don't get. Like, I will go through those metal detectors and the metal detector will go off, but nothing happens. They don't stop me. They just let me go. Or they'll even get out the wand and they'll wand like my pocket and it'll go off around my pocket and they'll be like, okay. And it's like they just wanted to know whether there was something metal in there. They don't want to know what it is. They just want to know if there's something metal in your pocket.
Dave, hopefully Al-Qaeda is not listening to Dave's tidbits.
Yes,
here.
You're scaring me. You're making me nervous about going to Saints games now, Dave. Andrew, we forgot to do
the people that couldn't make it at TSA.
I see no lies there, Andrew. We forgot to do Juge's judgments. Do you have a couple of them before we get out of here?
Yes, I do. My first take is that IPAs in general are trash. And here's my theory about IPAs. I believe
I'm getting IPA right now, by the way.
IPAs are for people that really don't like beer. And so they're so undrinkable that non-beer drinkers aren't going to really drink beers anyway. So they might as well drink something terrible so that they will nurse it and drink it really slow, and you can only really drink two IPAs, so at least they won't like slam like six or seven beers and be forced to drink that many, because you know IPAs are considered cool to nurse. So
what a trash take.
I think people that love IPAs are really just people that hate beer and that are trying to pretend to be cool by drinking beer.
Wow, hot garbage. Yep.
Ralph, you an IPA guy?
No, I'm a bourbon with cherry coke.
But when
cheap
you're
bourbon
beer,
cherry coke or fruity ass beer, I'm drinking a grapefruit German beer as we speak.
Nice.
What, Stiegel Radler?
I don't know. It's not a Radler. It's the I don't know. It's something with an S. I poured it in the mug. It's classy. It comes in those little thin orange, feminine cans.
Yeah, that's I know. Yeah, I know what you're. That's a
Radler's good too, though.
All right, so that was my food and beverage take. My world view take is that Europe is terrible. I lived there for 13 years, and they're basically a decade behind the U.S. in anything technology involved, or just in general stuff. For example. I recently went to Belgium, to Brussels, for a wedding for my buddy, and he was kind enough to have his wedding in the summer, at least, where I didn't have to be in Europe during football season, because that would have been awful. But
clutch by your friend.
Half the places we went don't have AC. It's like in the middle of the summer in August, and there's no AC anywhere. Restaurants don't have AC, and it's hot as balls. It's like 95 degrees, and like, unless you're in the hotel, I was staying at a nice hotel like that had AC. Most stores, restaurants, buildings, residences, they don't have AC. And it was like that in Paris when I lived there. I don't understand why in Europe they decide not to have AC units. It's crazy. And they started the internet like 15 years after we did.
Explain it. Yeah, you were telling me about this. The French, they had something that was like analog internet. They were like, we don't need your fancy internet. We have our own internet. And they like
those
didn't
guys
want
are the worst. Those guys are the worst. They had this thing called the Minitel, and it loaded like slower than dial up. And it was the
graphics. Was it a fucking carrier pigeon? Jesus, slower than dial up?
The graphics were like analog, like. Can you picture, like, remember the graphics on, like, the old Ataris? You know, there were single lines, like, across. And,
Breakout?
Like,
they, or Frogger?
Yeah, and they would try to, like, design a shape by going analog. So, like, that's what they had. It was called the Minitel in Paris. And I remember when the internet first came out and it exploded. They're like, no, we don't need the internet. We have a Minitel. You know, and they're just like, no, you don't understand, like. The internet.
I like French Juge.
Yeah, like you don't understand. Like the internet has color, and you can go to like different websites and get news and do all these different cool things, and you can order stuff. No, we don't need. It's good. We have Minitel. No, it's fine. No, your internet is shit.
So that's what they would say to me. But anyway, obviously now they all use it. It took them 10 years. But now, you know, and even like dial up to Wi-Fi, you know, or Ethernet, like it took them 10 years later to do that. So anyway, I'm sorry, Monadula, but Europe is trash.
I'm thinking of ways to have French Juge comment on the Saints during the year. I'm totally fascinated. I'm going to get the French.
Well, we don't get British Kevin anymore. So
I know. We need French Juge.
Yeah.
So do you have any like those are Juge's judgments for this week?
No, I feel like I need to put a Saints one.
Put one Saints one in there.
Yeah, you think? Jeez.
I'm going to say that.
Keep it somewhat relevant to this podcast. Jesus.
The
people know what to expect.
The toughest call for me as far as – well, there's two guys I would say that are the toughest cuts, keeper cuts. And to me, that's German Bushrod. I go back to a statement that Sean Payton made long ago. That was about Roman Harper. And he said, you know, we're going to find a role for him. I have too much respect for him to bring him through training camp and just to cut him before the season starts. And I would be surprised if Peyton cut Bergeron for the same reason. You know, I just feel like he was part of the Super Bowl. And similarly, I just feel like he has too much respect for that guy to string him along. So I think Bushrod makes the team, but I don't know. We talked about this whole Rick Leonard thing, and you know, Josh Larrivius is a guy I think they need to keep. And
Bushrod looked kind of washed too. Like,
I mean, Bushrod's looked a little weak in these preseason games. So that's a guy I'm on the fence about. And then the other guy is Austin Carr. Like, I am at a loss with him. Like, I think he's either cut or he's catching five passes in week one.
Whoa. That's like, you can't be like cut or he's catching five for 60 and a touchdown and is a waiver wire guy.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's not like making the team and not playing. He's either making the team and catching five balls for 60 yards and a touchdown against the Bucs, or he's cut. There's no in between with Gar.
Wow. That's a scorching hot take.
Because, Meredith, like, it's possible they'll cut him, but I don't think they will. But I also don't really think he's going to have a role week one. And yeah. Ginn's been, like, sneaky terrible in preseason. So, to me, it's not out of the question that until Ginn and Meredith kind of get their – I think they're going to make the team. But until they get their stuff together, I wouldn't be surprised if the Saints come out first and 10, first play of the game, and the three receiver set is – Thomas, Traquan, and Carr.
Wow. Interesting. That's interesting.
I mean, you heard Sean Payton say it. He said the depth chart is in chalk right now.
No, I mean, people, they don't come to this podcast for Juge's judgments to be weak sauce. They come for the strong shit. They want the top shelf smoking hot takes. That's what they want. And you delivered. So that wraps up the show. Here we go.
Mal.
She's going bananas.
Way to sneak it in there right at the end.
I thought she was clapping because the podcast was over and she doesn't have to listen to this garbage anymore.
She's watching the Astros. They're playing the A's in a huge series. So look.
She's excited she doesn't have to listen to a guy drinking IPA anymore.
I'm going to have more than two IPAs. And I'm going to drink them really quickly too, okay, buddy?
So listen, people, you can go to our site, go to Podbean, or you can find us on Patreon, Saints Happy Hour, supporters. We have all kinds of cool stuff, magnets, T-shirts, all kinds of cool stuff if you donate to the podcast, or you can just donate $1 and listen to the fun extra stuff. So anyway, for Dave, for Andrew, until next week, the bar is closed.
Do not drink IPAs. Trash.